Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, and welcome to Gaze on Film. This podcast is where we, a pair of gays, talk about what we're watching. I'm Ned.
And I'm Declan.
And in this episode, we'll be discussing Wonka. Remember, there will be spoilers once we get to the headline feature, so as always, do proceed with caution. But before we get to that, I'd love to know what you've been watching.
Me?
You.
So, it's been a while since we recorded. I feel like we always either say it's been a while or we've been dead good recently. So there's either loads that we've been watching or hardly anything.
Yeah.
But I have binge watched 2 seasons of Slow Horses on Apple TV Plus.
What's it about?
So it's like a MI5 drama. But MI6, one of them.
British spies.
Yeah. But Slough House is a function of MI6. I'm going to go with MI6. That's not on site of the main office, and they're like seen as like second class spies.
Right.
So they're all a bit jaded, and there's a reason why all of them are there. And it's led by Gary Oldman's character, who is fantastic in this. He's so like over his job, but he's actually really good at it, like very sarcastic and witty. And I've been meaning to watch it for ages, and I finished something, I can't remember what I finished, and I started that, and it's only 6 episodes a season, and I find it so gripping, so I'm gonna be catching up. The 3rd season's going out now weekly, so I will be starting to watch that soon as well.
Excellent.
But again, if people have got Apple TV Plus, which I recommend you should, it's a great show.
Cool.
Yeah. Harry Potter rewatch is still ongoing. Yeah. Harry Potter 5, which I was looking forward to.
Order of the Phoenix.
Because I like it when they can start doing the spells without saying words. So like,
I never noticed that until you said it.
And it is a good... I like the 5th one.
Yeah.
Quite dark. It's quite sad. Obviously, I'm not spoiling anything because I'm sure everybody has seen it, or at least 95% of the population. But it's sad when Sirius dies.
Yeah.
Gary Oldman, again, it's a good segue, that.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not sure if I'll get... I might watch the last 3 over Christmas at some point, but who knows, because there's a lot coming out and a lot of things and people to see.
Yeah.
Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. I did just want to rewatch this because I wanted to know if I liked it as much as I did on the big screen. And I did enjoy it, but for me, it's still a 4-star film. And I don't think it will make... I've actually done my top 10.
Oh, I haven't done mine yet.
I don't think... Well, it hasn't made the top 10. And I'm happy with that for me.
Okay.
There's one film left in the year that I think could make either of our top 10s from what I'm hearing. So it's not final, it's not set. And then obviously we have to merge them and see where it goes, don't we? Because that's what we do.
Yeah.
But it's The Boy and the Heron, because I'm hearing very, very good things.
Oh, yeah, I really want to see it.
And it comes out on Boxing Day, so that might make it. But
are we going to go to the cinema?
Cineworld aren't showing it, annoyingly. Oh. So I feel like we might watch it when we get back to Leeds in the week between.
Okay.
But yes, very much enjoy it. The action's great. And I can't wait for part two, even though it will be called something else apparently now.
Do they know what it's going to be called?
No.
Oh, okay.
Now, segueing on to what we both watched before I pass over to what you've watched, King, Godzilla Minus One, which is doing so much money for a Japanese... There was two Japanese films in the US box office that I think were like 2 and 3, which was this and The Boy and the Heron, and they're doing really well.
Oh, excellent.
Proper good counter-programming, because after Thanksgiving in the US, it tends to go a bit quiet until you get a bit closer to Christmas. But I loved it. I thought it was really good. Proper good, not Godzilla.
Proper
good kaiju film that actually makes the human story more important than what's going on with Godzilla.
Yeah.
And there was some really cool visuals. So
I thought it was excellent storytelling, actually. Yeah.
This Godzilla uses that thingy breath or whatever. What's it called?
I don't know.
But you know what I mean?
Where a big laser shoots out of
his mouth. Yeah, but the way the visuals before he does it as he's building up to it.
Oh, it's cool. Like he's charging up.
Yeah. But no, I really, really enjoyed it. And if it's still in cinemas when you're listening to this, I would seek it out for something a bit different to what you would
see. Yeah, it was great to see at the cinema, actually, because I've never seen a Godzilla film at the cinema before.
No. Oh, no, I have.
I didn't see only a Godzilla versus King Kong or any of that.
No.
So, yeah, very much.
We saw it in a Screen X Unlimited Cineworld showing. I think I would have preferred to see it on an IMAX screen. I find Screen X a bit gimmicky. Sorry, Cineworld, if you do ever want to sponsor our podcast, you can. It's just we're not that into the Screen X.
Yeah.
But it was great.
Yeah, I find the side screens when it does that on Screen X a little bit distracting.
So do I. Because it's not really...
And I don't think they really add anything.
The film, you can tell, hasn't really been made for it. They've just kind of stretched the frame at the side and blurred it a bit. Over to you with all your bloody Christmas films.
Well, I've been getting well and truly into the Christmas spirit. So I've watched Nativity, best Christmas film possibly ever. if you've not seen it, would recommend. It's got Martin Freeman as the main character who plays a bit of a grumpy primary school teacher, and he has to do the primary school nativity. Just, it's so adorable and so fun and so funny.
Were you ever the main character in your nativities?
No, I'll tell you what I was in my nativities. I was a snowflake, which I think probably foretold my future. And I was a star, which again, foretold my future.
I was always the lead role.
Of course you were.
But what we did in primary school is, because it was a Catholic primary school, it was always very much the nativity. Because some people do just musicals or pantos.
Right.
But we always did it. And each year the script was different. I don't know where they bought them from. But it was like each year, it was like the nativity was told from the perspective of a different character. And then one year, so when I say I was the camel, I was the lead in the musical.
Right.
I always remember how good my mum's costume was that she made for me.
Never think of pursuing a career on the stage?
I did.
Right.
But my gayness held me back. I always say this to my mum. I wasn't comfortable with being gay, and I thought pursuing that would make it...
obvious that you're gay.
So, and it's whenever I go see a musical. Actually, rewatching Harry Potter, that was the closest I ever got to going to stage school. Because I always remember they used to put out call sheets for extras, and I used to be like, oh, imagine being in a Harry Potter film. And I always remember the conversation I had with my mum, and I was so close to doing it, and I bottled it.
Oh.
Sad, really.
Oh.
I know. But yeah.
Wow. What a segue that was. Side note, what was it?
Whatever it was, yeah.
Tangent. I've also watched The Grinch. The Jim Carrey version with...
I prefer the animated one.
The Cindy Lou who is now the lead singer of Pretty Reckless.
Is she?
Yep. Great. And also Christine Baranski, who in that film I just want to be.
Do you like it as a film, or is it just nostalgic?
I tell you, I like everything about it apart from Jim Carrey as the Grinch.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I always like that meme where it's like, don't wind the dog up. 10 seconds later, it's Jim Carrey like, at the camera.
Yeah. And I've watched The Holiday.
Best score.
All of those three films were... Am I right?
I think you watched The Grinch at home.
Oh. Nativity and The Holiday were both in one day at my best pal Frankie's house. Because we... And I say we. Me, her and her family... always have a Christmas watching film day. Mm. Although, as we become grown-up people, it becomes more and more difficult to organise.
Yeah, it was quite early this year, wasn't it?
It was. It was on the 6th. Mm. I was barely in Christmas mode. other Christmassy ones of note, Falling for Christmas, Lindsay Lohan's...
See, I technically watched it, but I didn't even log it or whatever because it was... It's diabolical.
It's so, so bad.
Not even in a funny way. It's just a terrible, terrible film.
Yeah.
So.
Really bad.
Yeah.
And for some reason, that's the second time I've watched it.
I mean, we kind of watched it with a bit of background. I think you paid more attention to it than I did.
Yeah, probably. You don't really need to, though. You know what's going on.
Yeah, she falls.
Another crap Christmas film I did that with this year was that Candy Cane Lane with Eddie Murphy in.
Oh, I fell asleep.
I was doing a jigsaw with it on, but it was not good.
Oh, it's had middling reviews.
I didn't like it.
Mm.
I thought it was a bit...
I don't know whether to rewatch
clunky.
It.
I'll call it clunky. And for whatever reason, I think maybe it's the cold. I wanted to watch Ice Age again. So I'll put Ice Age on one afternoon.
I loved the first Ice Age.
Oh, same. And so I loved it as much this time as I always did. Mm. Oh my God, so queer-coded.
Is it?
Yep. You know those rhinos?
Yeah.
That are eating the salad? They're called Carl and Frank or something.
They're like old gays.
Yeah, they're like old gays. And Sid goes and wipes his shitty foot in the salad.
Mm.
And then they're also in the hot tub later on.
Mm. Queer coded Ice Age.
I know.
Oh, God.
There are a couple of other bits that flagged up on my gaydar as well while I was watching it.
Your gaydar or the gaydar?
My gaydar.
Right, okay.
Although, if we were to do an episode on Ice Age, it'd place surprisingly high on the gaydar, I think.
It'd be quite fun to do Ice Age maybe as a time capsule episode.
Maybe we should.
Yeah.
And in the spirit of the title of this episode...
Oh, my God.
I've watched Gene Wilder's Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
I hate that.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I don't... And we'll get to this in the headline feature. Roald Dahl's tone of things, no matter how they get adapted, but not really for me.
Did you ever read any of the books?
Yeah. I didn't like them either. They were just a bit... I don't know. I think they were a bit weird, which I guess is the point.
That's the point.
I know. They were just never my...
Oh,
the one film I do remember quite liking was James and the Giant Peach.
Yeah.
The stop motion one they did.
Yeah, I like that
one. I thought that was quite good.
Yeah.
I was never like a fan of the witches or...
I've never interacted with the witches, actually, but my favourite book was always, it was either Fantastic Mr. Fox or The Twits.
Yeah, so, because I think you might have some little Dahl nuggets when we get to the headline feature.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. And then this afternoon, watched Aquaman.
Yeah.
Anticipating the sequel that's coming soon. Not for me.
I just thought, when I first watched it on the cinema, I just thought it was silly fun. At least a 3-star, maybe even 4.
I thought it was messy. I liked some of the imagination that went into the world.
You liked the octopus playing on the drums?
No, didn't like that.
Oh, I did.
It was messy Aquaman and annoying and I didn't really
silly.
Care.
Like, Aquaman is silly.
Yeah, but I didn't find that film silly.
Although, Namor? He's not silly.
No.
And it could be.
It was just... No. There were a couple of things that I was like, fair play, this film can have some credit, which is why I gave it 2 stars and not 1.
Oh my God, what?
But everything else, I was just like, I'm either bored or I don't care enough or the CGI is putting me off.
Oh, I thought the CG was quite good.
No, didn't like it. So we'll see what the next one...
I mean, they're not making much of a fuss of it because
no.
Obviously it's the end of this era of DC.
And that's another thing. I've never really been attached to DC.
Well, I'm hoping James Gunn might correct that for some of us.
Recently, the Suicide Squad, I did quite enjoy.
You like the Batman?
And I also liked Peacemaker, the TV show.
Which was written by James Gunn.
So maybe it'll turn around.
But did you like the Batman? You did, didn't you?
The Robert Pattinson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was like a... Well, it was DC, but it was a... What they're going to call Elseworlds stories. It Joker?
What?
Did you like Joker?
Yeah, I think on the whole. Stop being silly. Tell me what's in the news.
So, Golden Globe noms are out, and quite a safe set of nominations, I would say. But what's quite interesting is... People don't tend to take the Golden Globes very seriously. People used to be like, it's the Hollywood Foreign Press Association's...
Isn't it just like a best friend race?
Yeah. But they're no longer anything to do with it after the scandal and stuff last year. I can't remember. I'm not going to go into full detail.
I remember us talking about it, but I can't remember what it was.
So people are like, oh, should we take them a bit more seriously? It will air live as well. It has found a channel to air on. I just wanted to talk about a few different categories, not all of them, but some of them I do kind of...
Didn't Dua Lipa get a nom?
I think so.
For Barbie music.
Yeah. So obviously it's film and TV, the Golden Globes, and then they split drama and musical or comedy. So I'll just fly through drama. Anatomy of a Fall, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives and The Zone of Interest. And then musical or comedy, Air, American Fiction, Barbie, The Holdovers, May, December and Poor Things. I'm not sure if Poor Things. I mean, it was funny. I don't know how they split
Air it. A comedy?
I don't... Yeah. The way they split, I think they just... The studios decide...
What a strange set of categories.
What to campaign for, because then they go, like, further... Like, whatever.
Okay.
Animated, The Boy and the Heron, Elemental, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, The Super Mario Brothers Movie, Suzumi, and Wish. Interesting that the Super Mario's is in there, because I thought it was an awful film.
Well, I mean...
There are other animated films that they could have chosen.
There are, but it is... What, the most successful animated film ever or something?
Yes. On the box That's a office. Good segue, King, because... And I want...
Thank you.
They have got a new category in the movies this year, which to me is total bullshit, because it's like we don't tend to award genre films, so here we're going to invent a category. It is cinematic and box office achievement.
Right, okay.
And in that category, we have Barbie...
Yeah.
Guardians 3.
Okay.
John Wick 4.
Right.
Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning. Oppenheimer. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. The Super Mario Brothers movie. And, in a bit of a shock, Taylor Swift, The Eras Tour. I know. I like to see... some of these films represented at award shows, but it's a shame that it has to be cinematic and box office achievement. Like, I don't really get it.
I suppose it recognises the role of the actual cinema in the world of film and TV.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of Well, you know, that there is discussion that streaming services are pulling audiences away from cinema. Perhaps it's a move to try and remind people that the cinema is still there and really happy to welcome them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess so.
And by that token, it seems a logical step to have Taylor Swift era's tour in there. Because some of the memes going around from... And the
it got people in the cinema.
People in the cinema there.
I'm just going to run through the actor noms, the leading actors. I'm not going to do the rest. But I like these. I think what I like about them potentially being taken a bit more seriously this year is that it gives us an idea of maybe how award shows might play out, BAFTAs, Oscars, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So it's a nice taster. But best actor in a motion picture drama, Bradley Cooper in Maestro, Leonardo DiCaprio in Killers of the Flower Moon, Coleman Domingo in Rustin, Barry Keoghan in Saltburn, which I'm very happy to see, Cillian Murphy in Oppenheimer, and Andrew Scott in All of Us Strangers. And then actress in a motion picture drama, Annette Bening, Naiad, Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon, absolutely deserved. Sandra Hüller, Anatomy of a Fall, you can maybe attest to that performance. Greta Lee, Past Lives, obsessed with her, I think she's amazing. Carey Mulligan in Maestro and Kaylee Spaney in Priscilla. A few of them we haven't seen yet. What?
Not seen Maestro, have we?
No, it's not out on Netflix. It might be this week as of recording.
Okay.
But yeah, overall, I'm not going to go through any more film, but the film with the most nominations was Barbie with 9. Oppenheimer with 8, so Barbenheimer is very much back in the cultural ether.
Speaking of, you got a fun Barbenheimer print for Secret Santa.
I did. I'll probably put it on our Instagram at some point once I frame it.
Very cute.
It was very nice. Thanks, Connor, if you're listening. But yeah, the big upsets that people are saying, they're a bit shocked it hasn't got more nominations, is The Colour Purple. Again, we've not seen it yet, but people seem to be raving about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other two people that people were saying is a bit of a shock was Napoleon. I wasn't shocked. That was a perfectly fine-ish film. And Ferrari, which, again, we haven't seen yet, but I've heard quite middling things. So the biggest shock is The Colour Purple. I won't talk much about TV. Other than Succession in its final series has got 9 nominations, and then The Bear and Only Murders in the Building, which is wild to me, have both got 5 nominations. But there are some other little things I'd like to say. Fellow Travellers has got 2 nominations, one for Matt Bomer and one for Best Limited Series. We're about halfway through it and absolutely loving it.
Yeah.
It's quite a few for Slow Horses and that, all that kind of thing. So I know you don't watch a lot of TV, but Succession and The Bear being at the top, totally agree with. I actually think The Bear is my top show of this year.
Wow. Fight and talk.
So yeah, that's it. The award season is upon us. Let's see where it goes. I think it's the BAFTA next. Are you on? You're on laughing at that Schitt's Creek joke, aren't you?
Yeah. What's your favourite season? Awards.
But yeah, that's it. Am I blue? Yes, I'm blue. Oh,
it's
sorry.
Sorry.
Well, what a time we've had. But now it's time to cast our minds into the future and get excited for what's coming up in the world of film. It's time now for Trailer Trash or Treasure. And what have we got this time, King?
We've got Good Grief.
And I made a conscious decision to not watch this.
I've seen...
People talk about it.
Yeah, I've seen a little bit of, words about it on Instagram and things. Mm. So I'm quite looking forward. It's Dan Levy, isn't it?
He's in it, and I swear it's his directorial debut as well.
Yeah, cool.
With that one, Luke Evans.
Yeah, that's the one. I knew it was that one I'm thinking of. Okay, cool. Well, as always, listeners, the links are link is in the show notes. So do watch along if you would like, and come back after the sparkles. After last time when you said
you always do it as well.
I don't usually. I'm really smooth on this bit.
No.
Anyway, sparkles are now. See you in a minute. Bye. Well, what a tearjerker that looks like.
That was exactly the words I was going to use.
I thought I'd get in there first because yeah. I knew you would.
The premise looks like, obviously, his husband has died.
Yeah. And he has to process
that, but then also finds out that maybe he was cheating on him.
The implication is that it wasn't that long before he died that he'd met someone else and they had that to deal with. And then he died, so weren't able to, maybe.
Yeah, so it's quite sad.
But basically, he decides to thank his best friends for being there for him and takes them on a trip to Paris, where they, I guess, discover new things about themselves by the look of it.
I quite like that, having that kind of look at your friends that are around you when you're dealing with loss. I really like that line.
Yeah.
We built a nest for you.
And sat on you for a
year ago and sat on you, and now it's time for you to hatch. And I just think it just looks sad and tear-jerking. And it's nice to see Dan Levy, like, direct and write films after his success. It just looks really wholesome. Out on the 5th of January on Netflix.
Can't wait to see it. Definitely treasure for me.
Absolutely treasure for me. Looks cute. I think we'll have to do an episode on it as well.
Certainly.
Yeah. And now it's time for this week's headline feature. Wonka, coming up right after this quick break.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Wonka.
Before we dive in, do you want to give us a synopsis?
Go on then. I did prepare one. Right. Willy Wonka arrives in the city, ready to provide the world with the best chocolate it has ever seen, much to the distaste of the renowned established chocolatiers, who take every effort to ensure Wonka's failure.
Good.
Do you like it?
Yeah, that's a good synopsis.
Thank you.
So a lot was said about this. There was so much said about this film in its production, like, oh, what the hell do we need a Wonka prequel for, blah 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 blah. And I kind of got sucked into some of it.
I'm always a tad dubious of origin stories, just because sometimes they feel like a little bit of a cynical money-making.
They do.
Don't they? Like, unless the source material has an origin story, there's no real need.
Yeah, but I think them plugging, I think they just used a well-known character to make a very charming film.
Yeah.
And I remember sat in the cinema before it started and I was like, I've got zero expectations for this. I'd seen the good reviews it was getting. I was like, I literally this is actually quite unique, so I'm just going to sit back and just try and enjoy it.
Yeah.
And quite quickly, I was totally charmed by the film.
Oh my God, I was so into it. I think, in response to my, the little cynical nerve it was touching in the lead up, I think it's the origin story we didn't know we needed.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, I think in the future, I'm probably going to look a bit more at the talent attached, because I've always known that Paul King can deliver from Paddington and Paddington 2.
Yeah.
And him signing on for it, I should have kind of gone.
Yeah.
It was well, quite, there's probably a reason. And he's not directing Paddington 3 because of this. So it's like, he's clearly thought there's some magic here.
Yeah.
And there definitely is. And from the first couple of minutes, once the first song was getting sung, I was like, oh, we're in for a treat here.
Why didn't I realise it was a musical? I assumed it would have a song or two, but it was like the level of music.
Well, I always knew it was a musical, but I always remember when we did it on Trailer Trash or Treasure, there was absolutely no inkling that it was a musical.
There was, I think, a shot of one of the choreographed scenes.
Yeah, there was, but there was none of the actual music from it.
No.
And I will say, the songs, I really enjoyed
them.
Yeah,
I found the songwriting to be really fun, quite, oh, there's a word, and it means like quirky, but it's not quirky.
I don't know.
No, vocabulary is failing
but
me right
the, now. The but the lyrics really were fun. Really fun and catchy.
Clever.
And clever. You know, what did he rhyme chocolate with? Socolate.
Chocolate. Pocolate.
Pocolate. What is it? There's chocolate. And there's chocolate. But only one, because chocolate. No, we'll make your eyes fall out your socolate.
We're hashing this up. But it's really, really fun. And the tune will stick with you as like an earworm.
And it even felt like, you know, like it. Most musicals, they have like, they have a main one that they keep going back to and singing at different times.
Like reprises.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then they'll have like a breakout one where it's a bit silly. That was Sweet Tooth for me with the three cartel owners.
Yeah.
Obviously, we got Oompa Loompa a little bit.
Yeah.
Which was great. Scrub Scrub was good. And they all added to the story and they all added to the world building of it. I thought it was so great. And it used kind of the use of, you know, pure imagination was used at very clever times to evoke emotion. But it wasn't like, oh, we're going to absolutely hammer the hell out of this song because this is the one you all know.
It really gave it that kind of familiar, nostalgic feeling, particularly if you like the Gene Wilder one. Without kind of being too explicit in its reference. It was really kind of gentle, and I really enjoyed that.
So as a bit of a Roald Dahl, I can never say his name, Roald.
I always just say Roald Dahl.
Roald Dahl.
Like you're rolling.
Your Dahl.
In lentils.
What kind of character and what version of Willy Wonka are we seeing here? This is if we were going to say this is a prequel to one of the two main Charlie and the Chocolate Factories, it's certainly not a prequel to the
Tim Burton
no, one, is
it's,
it?
No, it's much more aligned to the Gene Wilder one.
And does it feel like, you've said it's more aligned, but do you think this characterisation that Chalamet has done could be a younger Gene Wilder?
Yeah, or... I think he picked on some kind of mannerisms and subtleties in the way he moved, which mirrored much more Gene Wilder than Johnny Depp. And even things like his costume, like little shticks, like I'm about to, the walking stick that stands up on itself by itself. That's a Gene Wilder,
right?
As Willy Wonka reference as well. So yeah, it's very much more in the, what era did that one come from?
Oh God, ages ago. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
that one. It's very much set kind of leading up to there than it is leading up to 2000s, 2010s.
But isn't that Wonka we meet really jaded and not a very nice man?
Well, that's kind of the point of Willy Wonka, which I think is why the Tim Burton one hasn't aged particularly well for me, because he kind of just turned him into a bit of a...
Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which never quite landed for me.
I think I enjoyed it as a kid, but now if I watch it when I'm old, like, I enjoyed it as a kid just because it had pretty colours and...
Yeah, I enjoyed it as well, but I think it was one of the DVDs that we always had.
Yeah.
So me and my brothers would always watch it and stuff. But actually thinking on it, the Tim Burton Willy Wonka gave a bit of backstory to Willy Wonka, like flashing back to his
flashbacks
childhood,
though, but
and his dad was a dentist, and that's the only reason he likes chocolate. And it was just like, he had no real character in there.
But Gene Wilder's
is much more the Willy Wonka from the book.
But to me, it's like, and this is for me as an outsider and not that big of a fan of Roald Dahl stories, this could be tracked totally in isolation as well.
Yeah, definitely. You don't need to have seen...
Not even that you have to have seen it. It's like you almost didn't need to have the conversation we just had about comparing, but you're always going to compare.
No, I think it does a really good job of being... of holding its own as a film. And then because of all of those kind of nods to previous ones, widens its audience because it gives it that kind of familiar feeling.
I generally think that it's done quite well at the box office so far. I think this could be like a Greatest Showman at Christmas type.
Yeah.
It stays in the cinema for ages.
Yeah.
It'll make loads of money kind of thing.
And I'll definitely be watching it whenever I fancy a Sunday afternoon musical.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought it was really, really fun. I was a bit kind of... apprehensive is maybe a bit too strong a word.
Okay.
At the casting of Timothée Chalamet.
Because
I was like, from what I've seen him in before, I can't really picture how this is going to go. But I thought he was brilliant.
I thought he was so good. I think
really,
he totally
really
went for it as well.
So like... much fun. He definitely enjoyed himself in the role. And it came through in his performance.
Well, yeah, it's like, we haven't seen him do anything like this.
No.
The characters in Dune, Call Me By Your Name.
Yeah.
All those others are completely different.
He's only got a small role in Interstellar as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, he was in something on Netflix, like a medieval type thing that he was really good in as well.
Yeah.
But he's always been quite stoic and quiet in films.
Yeah.
Whereas obviously now he's like front and centre dancing, singing, dancing.
Yeah.
And he had quite a nice voice. I think one thing I did kind of, took me out of it slightly, is... you could tell at times that they weren't singing in frame. It was the soundtrack. And there was,
I didn't pick up on that.
Well, I just think because... I don't know if it's because recently there's been quite a lot of musicals where you can tell that they... the director has made the creative choice that they want them to sing live.
Yeah.
So I'm talking West Side Story. I'm talking...
so things like where the choreography kind of allows you to be singing and breathing.
Yeah. And
whereas
probably having
stuff like this,
better singers. And that's not me saying that these are bad, but quite a lot of the singing that Timothy does is kind of like talky singing.
I quite like that though.
So do I. No, I'm not
accessible.
Saying it's a bad thing, but it's like...
no, I know what you mean though. Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have to have a set of pipes on him for any of these.
Yeah,
and
not,
I wouldn't say any of the characters do.
But I think that's good fun. I like it when musicals have kind of accessible singing voices, because it means when I sing along to it, I don't sound quite as bad as when somebody like, I don't know, Cynthia Erivo is singing.
I mean, I don't... I've actually...
that,
I know we've said we've not seen it, but I've actually had the new soundtrack to The Colour Purple on when I've been in the shower, and I have been butchering it. So, I expect to butcher Wicked this time next year, probably, as well.
Yes, same.
I did... that was the only... I could really tell that it was... they were miming along.
Yeah. I did like all of the cast, though.
Oh.
I was watching it and having such a good time, recognising faces from all sorts of things that I've watched and loved kind of growing up and as an adult. To name but a few, I don't know many of their names.
Keegan Michael Key.
Who's that?
The Chief of Police.
Yeah, but what else do I know him from?
Oh, God, I don't...
Well, this is I'm about to make a point about knowing people from other things.
Yeah.
Maeve's English teacher from Sex Ed Season 1 and
2.
Oh,
yeah, I saw her. Yeah.
The massage therapist from White Lotus Season 1. You know who Jennifer Coolidge is, like, I'm going to give you...
Yes, oh, God, yeah,
business.
That was her, yeah. Yeah.
did you ever watch The Mighty Boosh?
No.
Well, there's two people from there. One of them is the zoo manager and one of them is only in it once and he's referred to as a conker-headed Burke. Makes me really laugh.
You love when even I use the word Burke.
I know, it's really funny. there was... Oh, what's his actor name now? It's really slipped my mind. The, like, head butler guy from Downton Abbey.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's in it. Him from Flight of the Conchords, who also voiced...
I love that there's no names. This is very Ned that, like, oh, where do I recognise them from? And that'll be how I talk about them on the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He also voiced the big, like, crab thing in Moana. Here's a name, Charlotte Ritchie.
Yes, she was in it briefly, wasn't she?
What was she in with Mae Martin? What was that called?
Oh, you've made me totally forget that, but hang on.
Anyway... That, another one, who was also in...
Feel Good.
Fresh Meat as well, yes.
Oh, we laughed so much at that, didn't we?
And, obviously, Sally Hawkins.
With that hateful Irish accent
she was
doing.
Don't really know why she had an Irish accent when Willy Wonka's got an American accent.
I was just like... But she's not Irish, is she?
No. But I thought that... It was kind of cute that kind of they lived on
a barge. A barge. Yeah.
Having the Irish accent. Maybe it's like traveller vibes. Don't know.
Well, maybe,
or maybe
but
it's
it was
like,
just weird.
Have you ever seen Chocolat?
No.
Oh. They live on... Oh, someone lives on a boat there and someone's got an Irish accent. In fact, that was Johnny Depp.
Right. Come on, Kate.
Sorry. Yes. All of those. And I... Didn't realise that it was from the guy that did Paddington.
Yeah.
And now you've said it, like, the people in it and the way it's been put together really make that make a lot of sense. So I think...
Well, actors' names we recognise and know. Matt Lucas.
Yeah.
Rowan Atkinson, yeah. Who is great.
Yeah.
Olivia Colman.
Yeah.
Hugh Grant.
Yeah. Who played Slugworth?
Patterson Joseph.
Don't know his name. Definitely.
I recognise him from a lot of stuff.
From stuff.
But yeah.
Oh, they're another fun trio. The Cartel, Matt Lucas, Patterson
Joseph, and Matthew Bainton.
I think recognise all three of them. Obviously, we know Matt Lucas from all sorts, from like Bake Off to. Great.
What were you gonna say a second thing
and it just yeah
Little Britain,
thank you, there we go. So yes, lots and lots of things, and I liked them three as a trio, as the Cartel, because Slugworth is the only kind of mention in Willy Wonka lore that gets any development, but having them as a trio was a fun reference to Fantastic Mr. Fox, the other Roald Dahl novel.
There's one of your little...
They were kind of like... Beavis.
Dal nuggets.
They were like Bovis, Bunce and Bean.
Oh.
One fat, wow. One short, one lean. I'm not going to do it.
I didn't like Matt Lucas, though.
They even had some lines and things that referenced Fantastic Mr. Fox.
No, I would say it's unfair to say I didn't like Matt Lucas. I thought some of his jokes did not land.
Fair enough.
But, yeah. I would like to just comment on how beautiful this film is as well.
Gorgeous.
The production design is
so
off the
chart.
And it's like, it feels European, which is the whole point of it, but not like, you can't really...
It's very obviously a fictional city.
Yeah.
But it's got really like influential, famous landmarks from places like Milan, Lisbon, London, Paris, Venice... Yeah. All sorts of places, right?
I feel like
Europe.
The production designer's remit really was cool. Like, European city, no, the best bits of all the European capitals,
yeah,
and just make it look like that. And it was beautiful. And costume design as well, another one that was
absolutely cracking.
I tell you who we haven't mentioned.
Tell me.
Noodle.
No, we haven't.
Who's only been in two feature films. The other one was The Day Shall Come, which I've never
heard of.
But I think this is probably her first starring role. And I really just liked...
What's her name?
Oh, you've made me forget it again now. Carla Lane.
Okay.
But I really, really enjoyed the dynamic between her and Wonka.
Me too.
Like, I've seen some people say, oh, they've got a weird relationship. It's like, it's not meant to be a romantic relationship.
I didn't get
romantic. Some people have said, well, that's what I mean. But I was like, I think you're clutching at straws.
Some people made a bit of a knock on the head.
But yeah, I just thought it was so just nice, which I know is a crap word. I always remember teachers saying you can't say nice because there's more adjectives than that. But it is just nice. Was.
No, they were really. They had a really good relationship. As you know, we've already said, purely platonic. But it was really nice that rather than it being like a cynical, jaded adult with a naive, innocent child, she had a lot of like street wisdom to help Wonka succeed. And Wonka had the like inspirational flair.
Almost a bit deluded at times.
That gave her a bit more of her childhood back. Because she had that stolen by the laundrette.
Yeah. That's a good point, actually.
Yes.
He did invigorate that, yeah, that sense of we can take on the world.
Yeah.
Blah, de blah.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff.
Which I really love.
Before I forget, I actually had a right laugh with this film as well. I had a right few titters.
Oh, same.
And I thought Olivia Colman as Mrs. Scrubbit and her
Scrubbit
falling in love with Bleacher was very funny.
Yeah.
And I also liked the monks in the church. Who sung, like, the really daft lines, like...
We're sorry.
okay. I thought that was really... Yeah, it was funny. I laughed
a
lot more than I expected.
Oh, my God, Rowan Atkinson's in it as well.
I said that.
Did we?
Yeah.
It wasn't in my list.
What would you have called him?
Mr. Bean.
Oh, that actor from Mr. Bean and Blackadder.
Who was it that played the security guard? Not the one.
Just talk about the security guard.
The one underground.
I'm not your Wikipedia.
She was really fun, and I liked how the zoo security guard and the underground vault guard had their like stories intertwined.
So they gave them chocolate that replicated a night out.
Really, really sped up. So that obviously the last stage is you pass out.
No,
drunk.
Well, the last, but the penultimate was like, you do something you regret, you pick up the phone, you speak to somebody you've been in love with, and they both do that and end up. That was funny
That was funny.
I thought, like, the chocolates were so inventive as well.
So much fun.
I loved the hover chocks.
Oh my God, yeah. I loved a lot of the CG in there as well. Like, when they first open that store and it's all amazing, and it turns out they paid Mrs. Scrubbit off to poison it all with extra ingredients and things.
Everyone's yeti sweat.
Hair growing, skin changing colour, things changing shape and size. Just really, really fun.
I loved his store, but do you know what I loved more? His briefcase, where he could like just knock up a chocolate.
Yeah.
And he did that really inventive one where it's got it was almost like triggering a light bulb moment.
Yeah.
And if you say three, not two, a has.
Yeah.
That's when the chocolates kicked in, like your idea.
Oh, I didn't realize that was a chocolate that did that.
Yeah, he made it with the lightning, but it was like lightning in a bottle, and he poured it into the chocolate.
Oh, I saw him do that. I didn't make the connection between that.
But in my head, I thought, oh, I'd love a little, like, you know, when they do merch for films. And you get like a little briefcase and you can make your own little chocolates.
Yeah.
I'd love to do something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I liked the whole laundrette setup.
Mm. It felt a bit Oliver Twist to me in its tone at times with that like laundrette stuff. Yeah.
That was another reference to Gene Wilder's about the small print.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the small print on the contract in the old Willy Wonka is, like, tiny, and they're all just like, ah, oh, it'll be fine, I'll just sign it. Which is what Wonka does when Mrs. Scrubbit says, and then obviously the whole thing is about having to pay back that debt.
She's a little bitch, isn't she? Mrs. Scrubbit. Nasty thing. But, like, I've wrote in my notes, it had, like, for a family film, it had the perfect amount of peril. Like, you never thought something was going to happen to them.
No.
And you knew it was going to end.
The stakes were perfectly high without being disastrous.
Like, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Like, even then they were drowning in chocolate, which I will say must have been a hell of a laugh to film that scene.
Yeah.
But even when they're, like, about to drown, I'm like, well, they're not going to drown, are they? But I imagine going to see it with a youngster, it would be that perfect, like, amount
of seat.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Like Toy Story 3 when they were all in their furnace.
I would love to watch this with kids. Ones I know, obviously. I don't really like strangers as kids, but I like my friends' children.
Yeah, I feel like when we have kids, it would be one I'd put on, but not when they're too young.
No, all of my friends have recently had babies and they're a bit too young to watch this.
I would say probably, I don't know, I'm not very good at ages.
Maybe when they're like early primary school age.
Yeah. Because I think as well, when you're a child, at different points in your childhood, you get different things out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
And once you're dead young, you'll just love the pretty colours and the songs.
Yeah.
Because I always love when a really good Disney film comes out and, like, you see the kids dancing along to the Encanto songs and the Frozen songs and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah. I liked that his relationship with his mum was kind of one of his main... What am I saying? One of his main, not priorities.
Motivations,
that's it. Even though she had a horrendous Irish accent. And again, that kind of ties in with Noodle, because we find out that Noodle's mum is not dead.
No.
And I did find it a bit emotional at the end. One, when he always said, his mum said to Wonka that she'll be there when he opens his chocolate
shop. When
he shares
his chocolate with the world, yeah.
Which he is kind of... He's not... Is he a child in this, Wonka? Or a young adult?
He's definitely under 25.
Yeah. But, like, he's got quite... Almost... Not a childish outlook. He's just, like, a big kid, isn't he? Like,
I think
a big,
he's just
creative
got certain,
kid.
Certain naiveties.
And then he thinks it means she'll be there, but he does end up seeing her, and I thought that was quite emotional. And I did like the tie-in that she'd made him a chocolate bar, because at every birthday, she used to get a cocoa bean.
Yeah, something like that.
And make a chocolate bar or something.
She would get a cocoa bean from work, one a day,
And then make a chocolate bar for his birthday.
He'd have a chocolate bar for his birthday.
And what I did like is when he does finally open it, there's a message that says, chocolate is best shared, which I thought was quite nice, because I thought, we all do share chocolate when you're with your friends, with your family.
You don't.
I'm about to share a lot of chocolate at Christmas. And the golden ticket was in there.
Yeah.
Which I thought, like, but none of it made my eyes roll.
No.
You know, like in prequels or rebootquels or whatever the hell they call them these days, and you think, oh, for God's sake, they've had to try and tie it in one way.
Yeah, no, I thought all of that was done really gently. None of it was particularly misplaced.
Yeah.
It was all just lovely and warm and comfortable.
And then obviously Noodle then reuniting with her mother, that also made me well up. As well.
Do you know who I want to talk about?
Who?
Hugh Grant.
Oh, yes, I've got him on my list. Actually, it's quite funny because they do hold him back in the film, which I noticed.
What do you mean?
Like, he's not in it for ages.
No, yeah.
And I was like, oh, where's this? But from a pacing perspective, I thought it worked really well because he's kind of teased because Wonka's like, the orange little orange man keeps coming in and stealing me chocolates, and we're all the audience is in on the joke, like, oh, we know he's coming. But Hugh Grant is fucking fantastic in this, and I just think I'm loving his creative choices at the minute at this point in his career. I know he can be a misery on like red carpets and stuff, but to do that, and I know we saw it in the trailer, but when he starts doing the Oompa Loompa dance, he's like, oh, well, I've started now. I can't stop. Like, I just thought it was so funny.
Yeah, and I like that they gave him a little bit of a backstory. It was kind of cute.
Yeah, that Wonka stole his cocoa beans.
Yeah, and then he got ostracized from his community because he was supposed to be guarding them, but he's asleep.
He said he's a really tall Oompa Loompa, but
he said they call him lofty,
not.
But they don't.
But yeah, it's, yeah, he was great. I thought the special effects were really good as well.
Yeah.
When they go to the zoo and the giraffe, I thought, oh my God, that giraffe looks real. I know it wasn't, because you can always tell when something is CG.
I liked how all of that. It was just a little bit fantasy without being outrageous. It was
just whimsical.
That's the word. When I earlier talking about quirky, whimsical.
It is. It's just whimsy.
Yeah.
And I will say, again, now we're getting towards the end of the year, that this is one of my favourite films of the year. And it is a perfect film for the run-up to Christmas to go and see at the cinema.
Definitely,
or
definitely, definitely.
In cold, dark, damp January, when all of the Christmas joy is gone, go and spend a Saturday in the cinema watching this.
Yeah.
And the January blues will be...
No more.
Yeah. Be like you've had a sunlight chocolate and it's gone.
Okay.
Is that all your notes?
That is all my notes.
I think it is for me. Star rating?
5
I go 4.5 because I know I'm always a bit harsher than Ned, and I did rub up against a couple of bits.
I think it did what it wanted to.
Yes, that's what you always
say. And
it
did it very well. And I had a great time.
So did
I.
I
laughed. I cried. The song's got stuck in my head.
Do you have a sweet
5 stars.
Oh, and that song, Sweet Tooth, we turn to each other, because I
really
always
funny.
Wind Ned up about, he says he doesn't have a sweet tooth.
Because I don't.
Because he prefers savoury, which he does, but he does still have a sweet tooth. And when the first lyric was, do you have a sweet tooth? My head was like, oh my goodness, it's been sung about you. But yes, 4.5 from me and 5 from you.
Yeah.
Now let's unsheath the gaydar. It's a wonderful piece of machinery devised by Ned's own hand, and we use it to rank all of the films and TV we discuss based on their LGBTQ+ appeal. Let's see where the gaydar ranks Wonka. I can't wait to do our first live podcast.
I'll have to remember the gaydar.
I know you will.
Imagine if I leave it at home.
Yeah.
Righto, let's have a look. So, you're going to laugh at these comparisons like you normally do.
Are we going to start a fresh board in the new year?
No.
All right. No. Won't it get a bit excessive?
No.
I think we should have a refresh every now and again. Maybe not every year.
We'll see, but it's not ready for a refresh yet.
Okay.
It's a little bit more than Swiss Army Man.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
But not quite as gay as Renfield.
I think that is the most random positioning we've had.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to say it. Do you know how I treat the gaydar? No disrespect to the gaydar.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love how you looked over at it then.
I like doing this as a bit of fun and ranking them.
Yeah.
But this for me is more of an intro into discussing the films. LGBTQ+ appeal.
Okay.
So I can't really get on board with it's below Swiss Army Man and above Renfield, because that even trying to compare films is
that
like...
That sits.
Is there any films that are in a similar genre either side of it? No.
No. I mean, Super Mario Bros. Is under Swiss Army Man.
So it's under Wonka.
Which is in turn under Wonka, yeah.
Yeah, well, I would agree with that.
Yeah. And then The Little Mermaid is a couple further down.
You think this is gayer than The Little Mermaid?
I don't know why we put Little Mermaid so low, actually.
I think it was crap.
Probably, That's probably It's the bottom end of middle of the table because it's a musical, so it's automatically camp.
And it is quite camp, to be fair.
Yeah. But it hasn't got any queer characters.
There's nothing particularly queer called it either, I don't remember.
No, I don't think any of the main actors are well-known gays.
But that's fine. But what I do think about it is the appeal it has is, I would say, it's for everybody. Every family could sit and watch this.
Everybody except our friend Gianni, who apparently didn't like it at all.
You will learn this as you get to know him more. Don't trust his movie reviews.
Well, I don't, because he instantly was like, don't like this. Have you watched Leave the World Behind?
And that's amazing.
Mm.
Can't talk about it because we're going to do a time capsule episode for a film that came out this year when we're away in Mexico.
Oh yes, we are. I'll zip it for now then.
But yeah, it just has such broad appeal. That's why I would say it's like middle of the table.
Yeah.
I just love films like this where it's a cozy Christmassy day and it's not a Christmas film, perfect. But you can just
perfect
chill and put it on with your family and have a nice time.
Yeah.
Cool.
And that's all for this time. If you have enjoyed this episode of Gaze on Film, please subscribe, rate, and comment on your podcast platform of choice. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and... Are we still on Twitter?
We are for now.
And Twitter. at Gaze on Film Pod. And you can check out our Letterboxd accounts. The links for those are in the show notes. We would love to hear your thoughts, so please do feel free to drop us a message.
And I want no thoughts lower than a 4-star, because you're wrong.
I'd still like to know why you feel that way. Everybody's entitled to their incorrect opinions. I have been Ned.
And I have been Declan.
And this has been Gaze on Film. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.